Good morning. I'm here this morning in the sanctuary of Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church, and although the pews seem to be bare, I can see all of you here. I can look right into your faces, and I know this morning as we worship together, it's going to be a wonderful time together. Before we begin, I do have a few announcements that I'd like to make, and of course, due to our unusual circumstances right now, we're continuing to meet on the internet, but you know, the Lord says that those who worship me will worship in spirit and in truth, not tied to a location. So this morning we are going to worship the Lord, and we're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. But we do ask that you pray that this will end soon. We would love to meet together on Easter Sunday morning, and I know people are saying, well, that's not going to be possible. Well, with men, it's not possible, but with God, all things are possible. And so we're just asking that the Lord would allow us to meet together as a church on Easter Sunday morning, and would ask that you'd pray for that. If the Lord says no, then we'll continue to meet as we're meeting right now. But also we ask that you pray for one another during this time, that God would keep us safe and protect us from this coronavirus and keep us strong as we continue to be his church here in this place. To let you know, we are making some changes to our website. If you're on the website right now listening to this message, you may also see that there's a little button there that says to give online. And this is something that's just been added this week, which means that instead of mailing your tithe in, you have the option now of clicking that button, and it'll give you the opportunity to donate, to make your donations online. If you have any problems with this, you can either give me a call or Kathy Penland a call, and she'd be happy to walk you through the process. But this is all done through a secure provider, which means any information that you give will not become public. It's just like giving a check, writing out a check. No one sees the information on that check except our church treasurer. So all this is done through our secure provider. Also, there are some that have requested that we have the opportunity to do short devotionals through the One Call. This is something that we'd like to begin, but if you would like to receive these particular One Calls, if you would call Kathy Penland and ask to be added to the list. We're not going to send it out to the whole congregation, but only to those who are requesting it. So if you would, just give Kathy Penland a call, and she'll add you to the list, and then you'll begin receiving these special One Calls. Also, if you have any issues, any problems or needs, please feel free to call me, Pastor Walt, at our home number, which is found in your directory, and I'll be happy to get back to you as soon as I can. And we're praying for you, praying for each one of you by name and through this time. So we just ask that you'd continue to lift us up in prayer, lift up the church in prayer, and hold us together. The church is not this building. You are the church. You are the people that make up the congregation of believers. So we're going to begin now with just a word of prayer, and then our service will begin. So let's pray together. Our gracious Father, again, we are so thankful and grateful that you've provided this technology where even though we're not able to meet together in person, that we can meet on the internet and we can continue to worship you and to lift you up. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would be in control, that you would touch each one of our hearts, the hearts of each person listening, and that you would give us the opportunity to glorify you both through your word and through the songs that we sing. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, we read this. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It is impossible for God to lie, and his promises are certain. Annie's going to bring us a song right now that accentuates this.
Thank you. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea. Watching me, the anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. Seas, the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams.
In spite of the storm.
And all the people said, Amen. Thank you, Annie. Annie's going to come back at the very end of the message today and bring us another musical selection. So we do appreciate so much your willingness to do that. If you have your Bibles there, please turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning. And this is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22. And we're reading verses 24 to 34. Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 34. And just to give a little background, this is just prior to the arrest and crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Next Sunday will be Palm Sunday, and then the Sunday after that, Easter. So we're entering in to a very special and very holy time before our Lord. Luke 22, beginning with verse 24. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times that you know me." And may God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. About three blocks away from where I grew up was a very large grain elevator. We lived several blocks from the railroad tracks, and the railroad cars would bring in tons and tons of corn and of wheat and of other grains that then would be hoisted up to the top of this large grain elevator that was about five stories high. And then it would come down through chutes and it would fall into this area where there were whirling blades, knives, huge cutters, and it would shred all that grain, all the corn and whatever, just shred it and pour it down into this giant sieve. And the sieve would be going back and forth very rapidly, and the corn or the wheat would fall through and go down into another area, but all the chaff would stay up on top. And then there were large blowers that would blow this into another area where it would be taken off and hauled away. We used to sneak in and we would look through the cracks in the walls and we would watch this taking place day after day. And it was just an amazing thing. Right up until the time that I started having nightmares about falling into this giant cutter and the sieve. And I had that time after time and I found that I couldn't go back anymore and look at that with any kind of peace, because it would stir me up and I would start having these bad dreams again. We know Jesus talked about being sifted here in verse 31. And he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat." You know, again, this is just before the crucifixion of Jesus. And we know what took place when Peter went with Jesus, followed behind him into the area where Jesus was being tried, and he was confronted by several individuals and denied Jesus on three different occasions before the cock crowed, just as Jesus said would happen. We also know the effect that it had on Peter. It said he went away and he wept bitterly. We know Jesus was giving Peter a mental image, not only to Peter, but also to those who were listening. And he was describing an ongoing process that goes on in the lives of believers. You know, the background of this statement, of course, was the Last Supper, and there was a dispute that took place among the disciples. Can you imagine at that moment in time that they were arguing among themselves about who was the greatest in the kingdom of God? Jesus knew their hearts, though, and he knew what was about to take place. And he knew that they were about to undergo probably the greatest trial that they had ever experienced in their lives. But you wonder, why was it then that Peter was singled out? Of all the disciples, Peter was singled out as the one that Jesus would address. Obviously, all the disciples went through a difficult time, but Peter went through one that was particularly difficult. You know, we might think about the fact that Peter was probably the most forceful of the disciples. It was usually Peter that jumped in and said something first before anyone else did. He was the most verbose of all of the disciples. And so Jesus maybe was making an example of Peter before the others. Certainly Peter's self-identity was strong enough that he could take it. But Peter thought to himself that things were probably going pretty well. I mean, look at verse 33 here where Peter said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." So, you know, he had a pretty strong identity there, self-opinion of himself. And yet Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place not many hours from the time when Peter said that. He thought things were going pretty well, but he had no idea what was about to take place. You know, I just have to relate that to life in America just 3 weeks ago. Just 3 weeks ago. You know, everything seemed to be going so well. Our economy was strong. People were excited and happy. And then all of a sudden, something took place that changed everything almost overnight, literally overnight. We see ourselves now, several weeks later, in the throes of the coronavirus, COVID-19, and what it's done to America. And we want to look at that this morning. We want to look at this process, almost as if Jesus said, Satan has demanded you and wants to sift you like wheat. So what does it mean then to be sifted? Well, I think we're probably all familiar with the sifting process, but in the Holy Lands, it was a little bit different. The cutters would go out into the fields and they would cut the wheat. They would put it into bundles, and then it would be taken back onto the threshing floor and it would be thrashed. It would be pounded, and that was to loosen up the grains. It would be pounded over and over. And then finally, after it had been pounded sufficiently, it would be picked up and it would be shaken back and forth hard so that the grains would fall down and it would fall into the sieve. And then the kernels, as it was sifted in the sieve, the kernels of wheat would remain and the chaff then would be blown away by the wind. You know, we have a reference to this in Psalm 1:4. We're all familiar with it. It said, "But the wicked are not so, but they're like the chaff that the wind drives away." And here's again a picture from Scripture of what took place in this sifting process. Finally, as it's sifted, the kernels fall down, the chaff blows away, and they have their grain right there. Now, the sifting of Peter and the disciples was a little bit different. For one thing, when Jesus said, "Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat," he wasn't speaking only to Peter, because that word "you" and also the word "your" are both plural, which means he was speaking to all of his disciples. He was looking at them and he was saying, Satan has demanded the opportunity, the right to sift you, all of you, like wheat. The disciples were about to be scattered. They were going to be terrified. They were going to be cut down. And they were going to go through probably the darkest moment of their lives. They were right on the edge of it as Jesus was saying these words. They were going to be thrashed. They were going to be pounded. They were going to be sifted. Now, I'm wondering, can you identify at all with that? I mean, have you ever gone through a time in your life when you felt like you were just being pounded and thrashed, where something took place that was beyond your understanding? And it was almost as if the Lord was allowing Satan to grab a hold of you and shake you to the very roots. Maybe you've experienced that. I have to believe that the United States of America is going through a sifting right now. That we're being pounded, we're being thrashed, we're being divided. It's a very difficult time for everyone. We spoke to some of our relatives yesterday that live down in Atlanta, and they were expressing the panic that's embracing that whole area down there. Very difficult. They're afraid. And why wouldn't they be? Everything they hear on the news, everything that's surrounding them is gloom and doom. And sometimes we have to stand up and say, well, why is all this happening? Why are we going through this? Why does God allow us to go through these times of sifting? Isn't God in control of everything? Why did God allow this to take place? Well, you know, here are the facts. And this is what we have to stand on in times when we go through this sifting process. First of all, God is the King. He is the King of the universe. There is nothing greater, nothing higher, nothing above Him. He's the top. He's God. Now, Satan, on the other hand, is a created being, and he's called the Prince of the Power of the Air, and he's been given certain authority, but that authority has its limits. Satan has to ask permission from God Almighty to do whatever he does. Now, you say, well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Well, I want to look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 9 to 12. And this is what it says. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now this was Satan asking for permission right here from God Almighty to put Job into the sieve, to thresh him and to pound him, and to see what would come out on the other side. We also see it after that first attempt didn't work. We see in Job chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, it says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, only spare his life. So God there was giving Satan permission. You may say, well, why did God do that? God has his purposes and God has his reasons, but he also has his limits as far as how much Satan can actually do. We can see a lot of the damage that's taken place already in the United States of America because of the effects of this COVID-19. We can see businesses that are going down. We can see families that are being torn apart. We can see all these things taking place. And yet God has his limits. And there will come a time when God says, no more. It's over. The time is up. Now let my people heal. So why then does God grant permission? Well, there are several reasons. First of all, it's for the purification of his church. You know, I truly believe that all the events in history have happened for the benefit of God's people. That's why it's called history. It's his story. It's God's story on earth about the redemption of his people. And in this process, God allows the church to go through times of purification. And I believe the Lord is giving us this time now to purify us, to purify our hearts. What is it that we really long for? What is it that we really desire? A lot of the comforts and things that we've taken for granted are being taken away. You know, we've become such a society of entitlement. We believe somehow that we're entitled to all these things. We're entitled to have clean air and clean water. We're entitled to have toilet paper. But it's taken away. We don't have it right now. It's not an entitlement. It has all been given to us through the hand of a loving Father, our Lord and Savior. And this is a purification of the church. What's really in our hearts? How are we going to respond? You know, somebody said, this coronavirus is going to pass away, but the things that happen will be remembered forever. We as Christians, our attitudes, the things that we do will be remembered long after this virus has passed. It's a purification of the church. It's also a strengthening. It's a strengthening of the church. I'm sure many of you listening to this right now can remember back to times when America went through a depression, or America went through a world war, or America went through times of a great need here in this country, and it caused the American people to come back together again as one, to help one another and encourage one another. And that's exactly what God wants us to do right now, not just as a church, but as a nation, to begin helping one another and encouraging one another instead of constantly proclaiming this gloom and doom that everything is all lost. It's not lost. This is merely a blip on the screen of history, and it'll pass. But God wants us to be strengthened, and he's testing us through fire in all of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, "Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done." That's where we are right now. We talk about our love for Jesus. We talk about our love for one another. But what happens when the chips are down, when the rubber meets the road? Who are we then? That's what God is revealing. But in this, he's strengthening us, because not only is there the negative, there's also the positive. People are sacrificing for one another. They are helping one another. They're giving of themselves. And we're seeing a beauty in America that's coming out, and it's shining. And this is very encouraging. Oh, we're always going to see the negative. The darkness will always be there. But it's also bringing out the true heart of God's people. And we need to bless that. You know, it's also building a resolve in us. It's purifying, it's strengthening, but it's also building a resolve in each one of us. It's the ability to stand up in the face of diversity, to be able to stand up in the face of adversity, and to be able to stand strong. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, it says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." And that's what we're facing. We're facing schemes here of the devil. And God is calling on us to be strong as his people, to stand up and to be counted for what's right, for what's true, for what's pure. There's no doubt that we're being sifted. We're being sifted. But what ultimately survives in the sieve? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." What ultimately survives the sieve? There are three kernels that survive. The first one is faith. You know, the disciples were sifted, they were pounded, they were beaten, but something that could never be taken away from them was their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. They never denied him. They went to their death believing Jesus to be the Lord. Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the Almighty God. Disciples never lost their faith in Jesus. Their faith was shaken. And I'm sure that if you've been sifted, like Peter was sifted, that your faith was shaken, but it was not destroyed. There came a time when you came back and got on your knees and said, "My Lord and my God." Another kernel is our hope. We have a hope that cannot be taken away. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Not long after Peter went through his sifting and the disciples went through their sifting, they realized that Jesus could not be held by death, that he burst forth from the tomb, that he was resurrected, and that because Jesus lives, so we shall also live. Everything that we're going through right now will pass. It'll all go away. And one day, things will be much like they were before, except hopefully, we'll be different people. We'll have the memory of what we've gone through, and our great desire will be to honor Jesus is our Lord and Savior with all our hearts. He is our living hope. So there's faith and there's hope and there's also love. And this is the love that Jesus proclaimed. This is a love that Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians. This is a love that is unlike any other love. It's a love that says, "I love you in spite of," not "I love you because." And this is what remains. It doesn't matter what others do. It doesn't matter what's been done to us. That love can't be shaken because the Lord Jesus puts it in our hearts as brothers and sisters in Christ. Of these three remain: faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Yes, we're going through sifting as a nation. The United States is going through a time of pounding right now. We're also being sifted as a church. We're being pounded and sifted as a church. It's very difficult not to be able to meet. And again, I'm looking out on a congregation right now, and I see all your faces, and my heart longs for you to be here in person, for us to be together once more, to be meeting together on Wednesday night for our Bible study, to have the choir meeting and singing beautiful songs that John Wood comes up with. And we're so grateful for all of them and everything that happens in our church. We love our church. We're going through a difficult time. But this is all going to pass. I always think about the fact that, you know, when it's terrible weather and you get into an airplane and you rise up above the clouds, the sun's shining. That sun is still shining in the kingdom of God. It's always shining in the kingdom of God. There's not a bad day up there. And one day these clouds are going to part and we're going to see that sun, S-O-N, again. And it's going to bring that light to us. So what can we do as individuals? What can we do as a nation? Well, first of all, to put all this in perspective, and that is, this is going to pass. We will sooner rather than later, we'll be back together again as a church family, and we long for that day. Until then, let's keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Let's continue to pray for him, to pray for our nation, to pray for our leaders, to pray that the Lord, through all of this, does his work, what he wants to accomplish, to make us the nation that he wants us to be, to make us the church that he wants us to be, and to make us the people that he wants us to be. We're going to have a word of prayer, close in prayer, and then Annie's going to bring us another song. So let's bow as we pray. Gracious Father, once again, we are so grateful and thankful for all that you do. We're thankful that as we go through these times, we're not going through them alone, that you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. And so we trust in you through these difficult times. And we thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
About tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about about
Now we're going to close with a word of benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.